right. Thank you very much. So when I received an invitation to give a presentation at this session today, I was very honored. But what was I going to talk about? My master's degree, long ago, was in soil morphology, and my own work is mainly representational and portrays a lot of stuff in the natural world. But I can't say that I focus solely on soils. I teach elementary art to grades K through 5 at Woods Charter School in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I use soils in my classroom all the time, and I've done a presentation on using soils in the classroom in Tampa. So, did I have anything new to say? Well, I had an event that I had to attend at a community space in Chapel Hill, and there on the walls was the work of artist Shelley Hedenberger. They looked like soil profiles to me. So here was the universe presenting me with what my talk was going to be about. Then not long after that, I saw a bit on Comedy Central. These two young ladies are talking. The one on the left says, "I was texting while driving, and so I took a wrong turn, and I ended up in front of a vitamin shop. And I said, this is the universe totally telling me that I need to take more calcium." And her friend says, "Universe." She's like, "I know, right?" Bill Nye comes on to set everybody straight and remind people that there are over 500 billion planets in our galaxy capable of supporting life, and sometimes a coincidence happens. So, all right, it was a coincidence, but at least now I knew what I wanted to talk to you about. You and I know that there are thousands of kinds of soils in the United States alone, but sadly to say, most people, when they think about soil, they think to themselves, brown dirt. But artists have been inspired by nature and by soils for millennia, and some of them have been inspired by soil profiles. If we were to look at two soils, and I was to ask you which is more interesting, there's probably many ways that you could justify your answer. But if I qualified it by asking which is more visually interesting, I think the Spodosol would win. Why? Because it's pretty. When the Dig It exhibit traveled the United States with monoliths from all 50 states and the territories, how did they arrange those monoliths? Did they group them by region? Did they group them by soil type? Did they put them in alphabetical order? No. They grouped them by aesthetics. They grouped them in a way that would lead people through the exhibits. They had light-colored soils next to dark-colored soils. They had homogeneous soils next to soils with a lot of variation in them. They had rocky soils next to ones that were very uniform in texture. So, aesthetics, you say. You may have viewed a piece of abstract, non-representational art and scoffed. My kindergartner could do that. You know what? I teach kindergarten art. I agree with you. The difference is that kindergartners have not yet learned about the elements of art, the vocabulary that an artist can use to express themselves. They haven't learned about the principles of design, the syntax of art's language. I look at hundreds of examples of kindergarten art a year. Even a blind squirrel finds an occasional nut. I can select the ones that randomly hit the mark of pleasing design, but their work is done without any intention on their part. So, what's this all got to do with soil profiles? Can a representational artist, as well as an abstract artist, be inspired by them? Can a person without a soils background be inspired by soil profiles? First, let me share with you the elements of art. We consider those elements to be line, shape, space, form, color, value, and texture. That's like our vocabulary. We take our vocabulary and we put them together using the principles of design. And we strive for a work that contains balance or emphasis, movement, pattern, repetition, proportion, rhythm, variety, or unity. The artist's purpose is to evoke a response in the viewer. Are they just documenting what they see, or do they mean to educate, to inspire, to reassure, to calm someone, incite, anger, provoke, to share an experience? There was an artist back in the mid-century, in the 20th century, his name is Walter Kubiena, who painted scientifically accurate portraits of soils. These were true portraits. They were a portrait of an individual. You'd be able to recognize these individuals if you met them in real life. A diagram could have given you the same information, but it wouldn't have imparted the appreciation and reverence that this artist felt for this natural body that he was portraying. There was a project in Quebec in 2005 where soil columns were presented as sculpture in a park. You're all familiar with this aspect of soil morphology, but it came as a great surprise to the public. They had no knowledge of what goes on beneath their very feet. By elevating the soils to a form of sculpture, they garnered new appreciation for these soils. My own classes go, ooh, when they get to make their own mini monoliths. We use the elements of art, we use individual soils, and they make their own monoliths in these test tubes. Each one is different, and because we tamp all the airspace out of it and put a little cotton plug in the top under the cap, they're relatively permanent. I have students who delight in telling me that their older sibling made one of these. They may have been a student that I had 6 or 7 years ago, and they still have theirs. They have their own little soil with them that they can cherish. While we were working on a project where we were doing a painting using strictly value, so black, white, shades of gray, out of the thousands of images that my students in fifth grade could choose from to inspire them from National Geographic magazines, one of them chose to portray a soil profile. In North Carolina, we say, bless his heart. So now, if we take the inspiration of soil profiles and uncouple it from the representational work, we can represent things much more accurately. We have millions of megapixels available to us to document reality. But now we have opened the door to creative interpretation in many media. There's an artist called Josh Simpson who works in hot glass. And this is some of his work from his New Mexico series. It evokes the colors of the soils that he has observed there. I have a piece of his work here with me today, if you want to see it during the break, a smaller version of some of his work. The two artists at Gartner and Blade, also working in hot glass in Massachusetts. We don't have marble in patterns like this in Massachusetts, but we do have spodosols. There's the Society's own Jay Noller. He's the only scientist beside Walter Kubiena in this group. And obviously, his work goes far beyond textbook illustration. Georgiana Ireland is an artist working in California. Her large series in oils is entitled Bella Terra, which literally means beautiful earth. The Irish-born artist working in the United States, Sean Scully, cites the importance of soil and its history to someone of Irish ancestry. This is a painting from his series entitled Landlines. The paintings in this series, granted they're big paintings, but they've sold for over 750,000 pounds. They must be speaking to a lot of people. This talk doesn't have the scope of discussing everyone who is inspired by art and working today. But let's circle back to those works that first caught my eye and sparked me to talk with you today. Shelley Hehenberger has been working as an artist and illustrator for the past 2 decades. In 2005, her work began to take on a more geologic and pedologic influence. I spoke with Shelley after her show Psyche Revealed at the Frank Gallery in Chapel Hill. Her works are done on wood, they're done in oils and cold wax, and they often incorporate soil materials into the process. She works on several paintings at one time, and she feels that to her, her subject is more important than, quotes, just making another pretty farm scene. She says it's a bridge to understanding between what I put in and what people see. I create a story, and then people can add their own. She sees a connection between how soils develop layer upon layer over time and her own work. She doesn't start out with an image and try to reproduce it. Rather, she observes roadside cuts while she's biking and hiking, and she uses the inspiration to see where it will take her. She adds, subtracts, and moves material around, a parallel to the processes we see and we're all familiar with in the soil. She sees an analogy between revealing the soil's horizons and self-revelation. Sometimes both are revealed by upheaval, she said. In closing, I want to remind you that each time you open a pit face and reveal that profile, you know you're seeing something unique, something thousands of years in the making. Move a few feet, a few inches away, and it's different. No one will ever see it exactly the same way again, and it was waiting there, hidden underground, until you came along. With your hand, you revealed it. With your eye, you beheld it. And so I propose to you all that, realize it or not, you are all artists, unveiling a piece of performance art never seen before and never to be seen again. A sobering responsibility to be advocates for a resource on which our very lives depend, which possesses such awesome beauty. While she was talking about her own work, Shelley told me, "Your message will not communicate if no one looks at it. The same holds true for the soil. People will never fully appreciate it until they're made aware of the beauty beneath." Thank you very much. And I want to give a special thank you to Ms. Denise Farrell, who is substituting for me today at school so that I could be here with you. They'll carry on without me.
We have time for one question for Deb. Anybody?
Yeah.
At the front.
How did you make the transition from a master's in soil morphology to a career?
That apprenticeship known as motherhood. We lived for a while in a place where I was not able to professionally use my master's degree, and so I had some time to think about what I would really like to do. And the opportunity presented itself to me. I've always been an artist, and having been involved with children, the need arose at our school, and I said, you know what, I think I can do this. And they made that opportunity available to me.
Great. Thank you very much,
Thank
Deb.
Thank you.